You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily, and it comes out around 6 Eastern. To sign up, go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right-hand corner. You'll be updated on everything. Even if you listen to the show, there's certain things that we put in there that you might have missed. And Mario and our intern Rob do a wonderful job every single day of cranking that out. So sign up for it. We're very, very proud of it. A lot of deals on there with new T-shirts as well. And we'll give you some insights there, some stats of the day as well. Results of the poll question. We have our Meat Friday where we give you the recipe for that. So there's a lot of great things in there, and it's easy to consume. It's basically one or two pages there with all the information, all the interviews that we've done, and a breakdown on some of the commentary as well. In this final hour, Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay head coach, will join us. Third time's a charm, hopefully, for Tampa Bay as they go back and you see where they lost in, I think, week 9. 38-3 to New Orleans, and now you're trying to shake that off. You lost both games to New Orleans, and I don't know if that's one of those that games that you show your team what happened, or you just say, we're going to wipe the slate clean, it's the playoffs, and you know, we're going to have a new... I don't even know how you can surprise New Orleans, or New Orleans can surprise Tampa. You know, when you play twice during the regular season, and you've played each other, there's no surprises here. New Orleans has now faced Brady twice. There's no surprises, it feels like. But we'll talk to Coach Arians. He'll join us coming up in a little bit. The formula for success really seems simple in the NFL when you think about it. You find your great quarterback. Hopefully it's a young quarterback, rookie quarterback on that rookie contract, and you're good to go. But sometimes it's not that simple. The Eagles thought they had their guy. They traded up to get Carson Wentz. They struggled. They benched him. And now they fired their head coach, Doug Peterson. You look at what's happening in Houston. Houston thought they found their quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Maybe they have, but maybe Deshaun Watson hasn't found the team that he wants to play for. So the Eagles and Texans face key decisions coming up. Both teams need a head coach, and I don't think either of these openings are great. Even with Deshaun Watson, I don't think Philadelphia is a good job at all. Expectation level there, the quarterbacking situation, you got some older players there. They've whiffed on some skill positions in the draft. I don't think it's a bright future for somebody taking over in Philadelphia. But you start to look at these openings, and we like to handicap them. I know I have Justin Herbert. He's coming off the best rookie season a quarterback's ever had. And I do have a lot of skill. I got a lot of talented players at this skill position. They're just not consistent. They don't stay healthy. But I do have players who are capable of being great. Jacksonville has cap room. If you bring in an experienced GM, if you bring in Urban Meyer, you got the number one pick in the draft. I don't know what else you're going to have anytime soon. The Jets situation, if you have the number two pick overall, do you want to use that on a wide receiver who weighs 170 pounds? Well, he weighs a little bit more than that if he carries the Heisman around with him. But Devontae Smith last night showed why he is the best player in college football. But the Jets have the number two pick overall. Do you take a wide receiver? Would they take the defensive back at Alabama, Patrick Surtain? Would you trade it? Would you keep Sam Darnold? Is that a desirable place to go with the number two pick overall? If the Jets had the number one pick, then it's pretty easy. Then I'd go, okay, I got an established GM, and you don't have the number one pick, you got the number two pick. So what do you do? And I don't think there's a consensus. I don't think you can say, boy, you know what? I'm going to take Fields. I'm going to take Fields, Justin Fields, as the number one or number two pick overall. I haven't seen enough. He's tough. Didn't look great last night, but nobody did for Ohio State. But he certainly looked great against Clemson. I just don't know. And I think at number two overall, you have to know. I don't know if you look at Devontae Smith and say, I'm going to take him number two overall. What's the highest a wide receiver has been selected, McLovin, in recent memory?
Oh, remember the Lions took a string of guys at number two. Mike Williams and you know, Calvin Johnson, Mike Williams, What's the kid who totally flamed out of Michigan's Charles Rogers? Charles Those guys Rogers. Are all high. So that's my only memory. I don't think there's been a one since like
Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn. I remember Johnny Lamb Jones went number two. Remember that guy?
Yeah, out of Texas. Went to the Jets. You know, you got to have weapons for Darnold. If you're keeping Darnold, you got to have weapons for him. Do you take an offensive lineman? Do you take Sewell out of Oregon? Like, there's a lot of moving parts with all of these job openings here. And I feel a whole lot better if I know I have my quarterback. And that's why I look at the Chargers and I say, I know I have my quarterback. He's proven that he can play. And that's a start. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence can play at a high level in the NFL. I assume he can. But there have been a lot of – the draft is littered with quarterbacks that we thought could or how could they possibly miss. But Urban Meyer, if you get him, do players want to play for Urban Meyer? Would free agents want to go to Jacksonville? Like, there's so much involved in this, but I do not think the Eagles' job is a good job at all. I think the Jets' job is better than the Eagles', which should tell you what I think about the Eagles' job opening right now. Yeah, McLovin.
I see, like, Devontae Smith at two in mock drafts, but there's so many good wide receivers later in the draft. Is it a little bit like running back where you can find one? So why use that draft capital that high?
If you have somebody different. Like Randy Moss was different. He was different than any wide receiver we had ever seen. He was just different. Now, he fell in the draft. You know, there were off-the-field things that people are concerned about. But he was different. And if you look at these players, when you get somebody who's different, then you have to decide, is he worth the risk? Is there baggage involved in this? Devontae Smith is worth the risk. The question is that what the Jets need right now? Because I don't know if Ja'Marr Chase at LSU is still not better than Devontae Smith. He sat out this year. I don't know. But if I'm taking a guy, I got to make sure that that guy makes my team better right away. Not, hey, we got to wait for you to develop here. You know, this isn't Tyler Lockett with Seattle where they found him. He was kind of a return guy at Kansas State. And then he became a very good wide receiver. DK Metcalf had all of the trappings of he could be a great player, but he had back injury issues. You weren't quite sure. Devontae Smith seems pretty clean, as scouts like to say. Yeah, Paul.
I think we do this every year after the national title game. There's some players that wish that the NFL draft were this morning. Like Devontae Smith cannot get much hotter than he is right now. But then you look at the Jets. I think the Jets have two first-round draft picks, maybe like 2 and 20. You know, Justin Jefferson for the Vikings, he was a 22nd pick of the draft last year. He's second-team All-Pro as a rookie. Yeah. That's almost impossible for a wide receiver to be All-Pro.
All I can do is tell you what I know from this morning, and that is a source said to me, if I'm the Jets, I'm at least pondering Patrick Surtain, the cornerback at Alabama, and Devontae Smith. Now, this is his job, to assess talent. He can't be higher on Patrick Surtain. Can't be. He says that, you know, when it comes to getting a great cornerback, you know, you can get wide receivers. It's hard to get great cornerbacks. And so, you know, you approach this with trepidation. Like, you're not quite sure. And there probably won't be a combine. If you think about March... For the combine, you have March Madness there in Indianapolis. And right now, I'm told that the combine is kind of in jeopardy here. You know, that they're probably not going to be able to hold it this year. The last wide receiver to be drafted as high as number two was Calvin Johnson in 2007. And he's going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, McLovin.
I was looking, you know, there's so many cornerbacks out of Alabama who went so high.
Yeah.
There was that, like, that D. Milliner run that was really
bad. Well, there's usually their safeties that get a little too much attention. Drake Kirkpatrick.
Marlon Humphrey's been pretty good.
Yes, he has.
But there was a string where they'd go top 10 every year and not work out. It's so hard to tell. You know, it's not just quarterback. There's so much talent on all sides. Like, how do you pick the guys out?
I would have to wait to see more information on this, but if I'm the Jets and I keep Sam Darnold, I have to look at Devontae Smith, or I look at Sewell, the offensive lineman out of Oregon. Yeah, McLevin.
Well, so how about trading down? Is that your number one? If you could get a stockpile a lot, maybe get...
Oh, yeah, but I don't know what I can get. Like, until... That's why if you speculate this and you say, all right, if I'm the Jets, my mock draft has Devontae Smith going number two. If I'm the Jets, that pick is open. If you want it, you want to get a quarterback, come up and get it, but it's going to cost you, and the Jets need more help. I don't know if Devontae Smith is one of those players where we say, absolutely, positively, we're locked in, we're not trading that pick. Because if I'm the Jets, I would not approach the draft that way. Because you can find running backs, you can find wide receivers. But it's hard to find that quarterback. That's really, that's still the magic elixir here. Can you find your quarterback? Look at all the teams that aren't quite sure about their quarterbacks right now, including... the Miami Dolphins. Yes, Paul.
One thing that would freak me out if I was going to think about Devontae Smith with the top five pick is if Jalen Waddle doesn't get hurt, he's splitting time. And Waddle's the focal point, and Waddle could be the top 10 pick. It's like, because he had this breakout season where he's the focal point, is it real? How real is it? Obviously, what you see on the field is real, but is it, you know, Henry Ruggs looked fantastic. And, you know, he had 25 catches, Henry Ruggs. I'm not comparing to him, I'm saying he's a different player, but I'd be scared with a small, skinny, fast guy.
170 is what he weighs. Yeah, Seton.
I was going to say, like, just to sort of devil's argument, maybe it's better that he wasn't splitting time and was the focal point. That actually makes him look better now, because you could have always said, well, Waddle's double covered, so that's why Devontae Smith looks so good.
You can frame it any way you want, really. But I do think when you're the man every single weekend, everybody gears up for Alabama. You're the guy they have to stop. Ohio State knew and still couldn't do anything about it. Yes, he.
It also helps that Ohio State decided to never double cover him the entire night and just leave that poor fella out on an island. Go ahead, kid. You handle it.
I think it's reverse psychology. I think that's what they were saying.
Oh, my God. Can you get the guy some help? Getting torched.
I kept going, okay, I just have two guys who stay with Devontae Smith the whole game. Even when he walks off the field, they walk off with him. Make sure he gets to the sidelines, and then they walk back.
Maybe they're trying to tire him out. Like, all the running around with the ball would really get him worn out, and that he wouldn't make it for the second half.
Yeah, all those touchdowns in the first half.
Just gassed.
Yeah, they tired him out. He got banged up, and he didn't really play in the second half. I don't know. I didn't understand that philosophy. But that's the one guy on the field that I have to account for every single play. He's the one guy who can, every time he touches the ball, he can score. There's nobody else in college football who can do that. And the only other player is probably Tyreek Hill, where you go, when he touches it, he can score a touchdown. Yes, Seton.
Like, so who's picking up Jordan? No? Okay. That's all right. We're good. It's okay.
Wait a minute. Okay, I got Pippen. Okay, I got Paxson. Okay, I got Horace Grant. Oh, who got Jordan? Oh, we only got one guy on him.
Okay, Muggsy Bogues, go ahead. You got him.
Craig Elo, you guard him.
What?
Yeah, McClellan.
I think a lot of guys are like, I don't want to get jumped over by Najee Harris, so that's another concern, but you don't want to be posterized by him.
Here are the wide receiver. Calvin Johnson, number two by Detroit in 2007. 2003, Charles Rogers, number two by Detroit. Keyshawn goes number one in 1996. Irving Fryer, 1984 by New England. And Lamb Jones, number two by the Jets in 1980. You got one Hall of Famer. You got Calvin Johnson will be a Hall of Famer. But in today's NFL, you win with Devontae Smith. You get that speed. You get it on the edge. Yeah, he makes everybody look better. Play action certainly looks a whole lot better. Yeah, McLevin.
Irving Fryer would be a good modern day player, as I recall. He could do a lot of great stuff. He was a good player, right?
Yeah, he was good. But drafted by New England,
a bit smaller, which is why I was saying, like, he might in a less physical NFL, he might have had more success.
I think he was. I don't think he was a fast guy. I think he was a physical guy. I don't think he was a Hartley Dykes kind of guy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I get a chill.
Yeah.
Remember when he cut his hand on the bagel, apparently?
Yeah. Oh. Whatever happened, he had a knife accident, and the knife won. Yeah, Paul.
I think you're this close to declaring that the Jets should take Devontae Smith.
I know, but I don't want to. I don't want to. Not yet.
I can see it's coming out of your pores.
I would love them to because I'm fascinated by how he played this year.
So you right now you're leaning towards keep Sam Darnold, go with the best wide receiver in recent memory. Full lean.
Oh, yeah, I got to lean. Full lean.
You look like Phil Jackson when you do that. You got that Phil Jackson.
Phil always walked like he had a hanger still in his sport coat, in his suit. He'd be walking like this. Phil, take the hanger out of your sport coat. I would need to know what you're doing with Sam Darnold and who's the head coach, what kind of offense you run. There's way too many questions. But if you said Devontae Smith goes number two overall, I would like it. If you're keeping Sam Darnold and you got Devontae Smith, okay, I'm fine with that. But I would, if I'm the Jets, I try to trade that pick. Yes, McClellan.
You also did say, I'm not sure where he compares to Ja'Marr Chase. So you also said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know.
By the way, Ja'Marr Chase had 4,000 yards in the Final Four last year, and he was the same thing as Devontae Smith. He was unstoppable.
I reached out to my source and said, would you take Ja'Marr Chase over Devontae Smith? But my source somehow has a day job, and he can't get back to me. And by the way, he didn't have 4,000 yards.
Didn't feel that way, though?
No. In one game.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he did not have one.
Do we get over, Paulie brought it up, do we get over, you know, overexcited about national championship performances?
Yes.
I mean, Tua threw that touchdown 3 years ago, and he became the chosen one.
Oh, I know. But don't you do this with Mac Jones after that game? You go, I don't know, man. He's pretty good in the pocket.
I don't understand. Matt Miller, a friend, tweeted, he's like, he's not as athletic as a Joe Burrow or anything. Like, he's not as smooth.
No, he's not.
But he just throws 50-yard touchdowns left and right.
I know, but you're going to have to extend a play. They don't let you. You know what they're going to have? He's going to have a pass rush next year. He hasn't had that this year.
Drew Brees and Tom Brady are about to face off in the playoffs. Why do you need to extend the play? Nobody used to be able to do that.
So two of the greatest pocket you're saying that Mac Jones can be like two of the greatest pocket quarterbacks of all time.
I'm saying he has the athletic profile of two of the greatest pocket quarterbacks.
Neither of those guys first round draft picks, by the way.
I know. But I think you can win out of the pocket. It's just like, is the league changed that much?
Today's NFL is asking you to extend. That's what it feels like. Whether it's a run-pass option or can you extend? Yes, Paul.
Mac Jones moves like a guy named Mac Jones. He moves exactly like you think he'd move. He sounds like a meme. Like, remember Mac Davis in North Dallas 40, the quarterback? He hasn't been chased. You didn't see him run at all yesterday. He was just sitting back there playing pitch and catch.
There's a random out-of-date reference there.
I love North Dallas 40.
Yeah, no. Thank
well,
you.
Hardly Dykes. I was trying to keep up with you.
Thank you, Todd. An 80s reference.
I respect
there.
That.
Yeah, of course you do. All right, we'll take a break. Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay head coach, set to join us. And we'll get to your phone calls as well. Got some people who want to talk about a variety of things. We'll get to those. 19 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Built Bar is built for you. Built for me. Built for everybody. Tasty, healthy, and you're going to love it. All these flavors, 16 flavors. Built Bar, they're soft, easy to chew. There's no aftertaste. A lot of times when something's good for you, like a protein bar, protein shake, it'd be like, yeah. Protein bars taste like candy bars. And you'll love it if you work out. It's great to have that. Skip a meal. Have that. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And if you're looking to lose weight, you don't want to eat something that tastes like cardboard. You can do this and still stay health conscious. They're perfect. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP, and get 20% off your first order. And there's so many different flavors here that you'll want to stockpile them the best you can.
What is that supposed to mean? That's accusatory. Stockpile it. It's accurate, but I'm just saying it's accusatory.
Use the promo code DP for 20% off at Built Bar. You're guilty.
I'm guilty.
With that comment right now, you're guilty.
If you open up the drawer in my kitchen, some things may fall out, some stuff.
It's not Built Bar, it's Guilt Bar.
Guilt Bar. I see what you did.
Why not eat something that's good for you that actually tastes good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. or stream us live on the Peacock app. Bruce Arians is partnering with Rivals Media mobile game, where fans can predict outcomes for the Buccaneers games, win prizes, donate to the Arians Family Foundation, which supports at-risk youth. Fans can play for free at arians.rivalsmedia.com as we welcome in the Buccaneers head coach. Coach, thanks for joining us. Did you watch the national title game?
I sure did, and what a game. What a team.
What do you take away from – how do you watch that game? As a coach or as a fan?
Oh, definitely as a coach. You know, watching the ebb and flow of the game and the excitement of it. You know, early in the ball game, I said, oh, we got to have a heck of a game. I don't know if either one of them is going to stop the other one. And then Alabama's defense really rose up. And, well, the big three of Alabama might be the best big three to come out of college in a long time.
But when you see DeVonta Smith, what do you see in how that translates to the NFL?
No, it translates. He's got instant speed. He's got one of those bodies that he can twist and turn and make those shoulder back shoulder catches look routine. And then they're not routine. He's strong. He's slender, but he's strong. And he will make a great transition.
I also am not sure about this, and you being a quarterback's guy, when you see someone like Mac Jones, he's surrounded by all this talent. But if you're assessing his talent, how hard is it to remove the talent around him to just assess his talents?
Well, I think the first thing you look for in a quarterback is a brain. He's obviously a really, really bright young man. And then accuracy. And he has great accuracy with the ball. He is not one of the more mobile guys that some people really love. But if you're going to play from the pocket and move him around like they do, very much similar to what we do. He's a very talented young man.
Who does DeVonta Smith remind you of?
He's kind of a mixture of Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. He's got the height, speed, you know, not quite the bulk of Julio, but the slipperiness of Calvin. I mean, Alabama's turned out some great receivers. He might be one of the best next to Julio.
And he's got that different gear. Like very few people, Coach, have that gear where you go, whoa, that's game-changing speed.
Yeah, and it's frightening because he doesn't look like he has it. He's just gliding. And when he takes those screens and turns the corners, I mean, those are great players at Ohio State also, a lot of speed, and just makes them look slow. It's just absolutely amazing to me.
I see you got Bear Bryant, a picture over your shoulder. Is that a painting or a photo?
It was a cover of Time magazine. It's been with me since 1983, and it's always on that side. But one of my players' fathers gave it to me in Temple University my first year, and it's always been with me. He always sits over my right shoulder.
Did you ever meet Coach?
I coached for him. His last 2 years, I was assistant at Alabama.
Oh, okay. So you take even greater pride in Alabama winning last night?
Yeah, if I have to root for another team than Virginia Tech, it's probably Alabama. It's still Temple.
If you were going to explain Bear Bryant to somebody who had never seen him, off your experience, how would you explain Bear Bryant?
In football acumen, the best personnel manager I've ever seen, because people don't realize – we played 66 players in every game. He substituted every player, offense, defense, special team. You get your tail fired if you send a player across that sideline. And I saw that almost happen. But just a master of people. He could recognize if you were too high, too low, and just one word from him. He loved ripping my ass, and he loved picking up everybody else.
Talking to Bruce Arians, the Buccaneers defeated Washington on Saturday night. They got the Saints coming up on Sunday night on Fox. Let me go back to that game with Washington. How much tape did you have on Taylor Heinicke?
Very, very little. Very, very little. You knew he was an athletic guy. Until you see those young guys like that in the moment, you don't know if they have it or not. That kid's got it. I mean, he was calm. He was accurate. He obviously was very, very slippery. And so I would think he just made a name for himself that he'll be in the league for a while.
But do you go back to his Old Dominion tape when he was in college?
No, we just looked at what we had, the little bit we had of the NFL.
And you said after the game that, and I'm paraphrasing, Washington's front didn't really make you nervous or concern you at all. Is that an accurate quote?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. I mean, everybody had to have you got to have a storyline going into every game. And when Chase said he wanted Tom, that became the storyline. They're a heck of a young front. Don't get me wrong, but I knew our guys would take the challenge and have been playing so well. I didn't think it'd be too big of a problem.
What's been the biggest surprise about Tom Brady for you?
I think the way he handles younger players. He's another coach. I mean, he really is. I mean, the athletic stuff is shocking for a guy 43. But the way he handles young guys and old guys, he's coaching nonstop. And it always pisses me off because I'll say something to a player and they'll look at me. He says it and they go, okay, Tom, I'll do it.
Who yells at the younger players more, Tom or you?
I think I got him beat on that one. But game day, it might be him.
Could you see him as a coach when it's all said and done?
No, I think he is probably like Peyton. If they were, you wouldn't want to work for him because they're perfectionists and they wouldn't accept anything but perfection. And every now and then you got to give a little.
And it's interesting that you say that because I would talk to Tony Dungy about Peyton, say, how would he be as an analyst? And he said, well, he would be great, but he would drive you crazy. Because he would do so much research. He would drive your researchers crazy because of his preparation. Is Brady and Peyton similar like that?
Very, very similar. I used to call Peyton the piranha because if I had a 20-minute meeting, I'd have to have an hour and a half worth just to keep him occupied. And the poor other quarterbacks, they couldn't take notes fast enough. But and Tom's exact same way. Their attention to detail is unbelievable.
Because you go into these meetings and you're the coach and you want to be able to tell the player something, Peyton's telling you probably more than you're supposed to be telling him.
It's like, did you see this corner? Did you see this left corner? I said, yeah, you mean 26? He said, yeah, watch his hips. Watch his hips. I'm like, that's good.
Oh, does Brady make you laugh?
Oh, all the time. Between he and Gronk now, it's hilarious sometimes. But on the field, two of the most serious dudes I've ever coached.
But Gronk, like, I never know if he's putting on a show as an act or he's really like that, Coach.
Oh, that's Gronk. That's just the way he walks on the field, and there's a swagger there. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. He enjoys doing what he's doing. That's for sure.
Can there be any surprises in this game, the third game with the Saints? You know, the personnel, everybody knows everybody. Can there be, should there be surprises in this game?
I don't think so. I mean, there'll be a trick play or two. You know, New Orleans has got a great bag of tricks, and with Taysom Hill and everybody else, and they got great athletes. But Marshawn Lattimore knows Michael Evans and on and on and on, you know, it's a turnover battles, but we've lost this game on turnovers, and that's something we have to address.
But if I said you can take out Michael Thomas or you can take out Alvin Kamara, you get that option. Who are you taking out of the game?
Well, for us, it would probably be Michael Thomas. Knock on wood, we've done a decent job of keeping Alvin under control. Our run game defense has been outstanding, but Michael Thomas has hurt us.
Yeah, and him just coming back and looking pretty good in this last game. Kamara, I'm never quite sure. Like, is he a hybrid? Is he a true running back to you, or who does he remind you of?
Oh, Edgerrin James. I mean, Marshall Faulk. A little bit Edgerrin James, but Marshall Faulk. I mean, a guy with tremendous speed, great runner, especially outside zone runner. And then he's a wide receiver. He has so many ways he can beat you.
And no home field advantage. How much does that factor in, if it does at all?
It's huge. I'm glad there's going to be 3,000 because when we were there for the opener, it was dead. I mean, dead, dead. And it's like, it was eerie. At least we'll have some noise.
Oh, so you want that ambiance?
Oh, I want to hear people booing or cheering. I want to hear all that. Yeah, I mean, it adds to the game. I mean, that dead silence or that airplane noise, it's not been good.
When you can hear like the air conditioner buzzing or whatever, the lights are buzzing overhead, that has to be a surreal feeling.
I mean, going to Monday Night Football in New York and Thursday night in Chicago and not hearing a sound, it's mind boggling to me. I've been in this game too long, and the crowd, the fans, that they're the game.
But do you have to be more quiet on the sidelines when you're yelling instructions or anything? Does Brady have to be quiet when he's in the huddle?
Not any more than normal. You know, defenses are getting their signals. You're getting your signals, but cussing out referees is probably the hardest thing.
Are you allowed to? Do they give you leeway to curse them out?
Yes and no. I mean, if you're smart, you just turn your back, and they just don't hear you.
They may think you're yelling at somebody else when you're yelling at them.
No, they can't flag you if you're not face to face.
Well, you got your mask on too, so they.
Well, I got a mask and a shield, so I don't think it counts.
Oh, hey, it's great to talk to you again, and have fun against New Orleans. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, brother, and invite you to be on our celebrity guest panel for the Rivals. It's fun.
That's arians.rivalsmedia.com, and I'll give the plug. I'll say goodbye to you, Coach. I know you got more important things to do. Thanks for joining
us.
But Bruce is partnering with Rivals Media. It's a mobile game where fans predict the outcomes of the Bucks games, win prizes, and you're able to donate to the Arians Family Foundation, which supports at-risk youth. Fans can play for free. It's arians.rivalsmedia.com. Wow.
He's great.
Coach crushed it there.
So fun.
Segment of the year? Is that up for running? I hate to blow it up. Drop that. That's late in the show, but.
Definite candidate.
Paulie, do you have the scoreboard of segment of the year so far on the Dan Patrick
Show? I do.
Show?
Holding in at number one. There's actually no number two, which is sad. Sal Palantonio, segment two or segment four of
he
show
was
one?
Segment two?
We've already forgotten when the segment of the year was.
Yeah, it was segment two of show, show one, January 4th.
So we had Peter King in the first hour.
Okay, so Sal was segment?
Second hour. Segment, second hour.
That's correct. So right now, Sal Palantonio on January 4th is segment of the year.
Should I'd we like to nominate Coach. I'd like to nominate Coach.
You know, let's take a vote.
Second that?
Bruce Arians, the number one segment so far this year. Seton, yes. Fritzy, yes. McLovin.
Oh, I just saw Ed Bouchette nailed it yesterday.
Okay.
Just want to throw that
Ed
out
Bouchette.
There.
All right. Covering the Steelers, all right.
No. That was I'm rooting for the Bucks now. I give that number one.
I thought Brady Quinn, you know, looked great. You know,
it's are we gonna have like a March Madness style tournament coming up here where it's segment of the year, but it's only 3 months in?
Segment of the year. Yeah, Paul.
Sal called for the NFL to investigate the Eagles and was hyped up.
Yes, he was.
You got that segment of the year. It's holding for me. Coach Arians was fantastic.
Yeah, I might go coach. I mean, Sal Pal was extremely serious and made a lot of news, social commentary, social media. But yeah, that was quite an appearance that he had. But I'm going to give Bruce Arians maybe he's number two on the best segment of the year list. Let me get a couple of phone calls and we'll take a break here. Drew in Texas. Hey, Drew, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. First time, long time. 6'2", COVID-216. Hey, I just want to talk real quick about Mac Jones and how he's pretty much underrated. My opinion, I think he's a first-round pick. I agree with McLovin now that, you know, how is it a little bit different than Joe Burrow's season last year? He did come out of nowhere, but, I mean, he's been around. He's faced adversity.
Different players, though. Different players,
yeah,
Drew.
I understand that.
Different players. And I know that we look at success, and this is why when I – and thanks for the phone call, Drew. When I would vote on the Heisman, I didn't vote going, well, I wonder how he's going to be in the NFL, because it's not about the best pro prospect. And people would look at somebody winning the Heisman, and then they didn't pan out in the NFL as if that was an indictment on their Heisman vote. Johnny Manziel was the best player in college football when he won the Heisman. He had an unbelievable season. You know, when you're leading the SEC in rushing, the SEC, as a quarterback, and doing everything that he did, I had no qualms about voting for him. None. None whatsoever. Lamar Jackson. Oh, he hadn't played anybody. Is he going to be able to play in the NFL? Can he, with that throwing style? I said, I'm just voting on what he did in college. And Mac Jones got a lot of votes, and rightfully so, for the Heisman because of what he did in college, not what he might or might not do in the NFL. And I think that's where we're unfair with a lot of these kids coming out. And it's always been that way with the Heisman. And maybe it's changed now. Todd has mock headlines, guys, of Alabama winning the national championship. I know now, Paula, you may go, that's a little late. Todd sent these to me this morning. I have held off for 2 hours and 40 minutes, but I can't hold off anymore. Todd's mock headlines for Alabama winning the national title. What? After the break.
Oh, teaser.
Just getting the first syllable
no,
out.
No, I have to one. I have to give a forewarning to the audience. If they want to find something else to
really do. Really selling it for me.
Yeah, but after the break, we'll come back. Last call for phone calls as well. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Do we have time for these mock headlines?
I like to say no, but we actually have a bit of time.
Yeah. Todd sent these to me this morning, and then I held off, and then he sent them to me again. Like, Todd will send it. He'll just have these reminders.
It could be a little pushy in my passive-aggressive way.
Todd has mock headlines off of the national title game. Go get him, Toddler.
All right, here we go. Why did the Tide win last night? Sabit. Oh, I thought that was going to kill. Like Saban. I'm not supposed to explain it. Wasn't their day. Like Ryan did. I'm explaining again.
Jeez.
Once again, offense knocks it out of the Sark. Once again, the
God,
offense.
You're 0 for 3.
Bama gives sermon on how to be champs.
Man. 0 for 4.
Fields of shattered dreams.
I'm not going to say it's a loss. I'm going to say you're 0 for 4 and a tie.
No bull, Saban passes bear. Like the bull bear market. No bull, Saban passes bear.
If you do it one more time, I hit you in the face with a pie.
Big Mac, Jones has that special sauce.
Okay. That you're rallying here.
Okay. Buckeyes get on Columbus disappointed.
It's corny. I'll give it to you.
There's only two left.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, Heisman, Devontae not well received by Buckeye backs. And we'll get you out of here with Ohio State D played like horseshoe.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Paul.
The funniest thing is when he's doing them, Seton's looking down at his shoes. Like, do I need new laces? I think I need new laces.
I've been workshopping a church lady. Mock headline, but I can't remember the beginning when, you know, she'd be like, well, could it be Saban?
Oh,
but that's bad. All I have. I don't have the setup line.
Thank you, Todd.
Okay.
Thank you.
Saban.
Let me see. What do I have here? Richard in South Carolina. Hi, Richard.
So I just want to let you know, in case you remember me, I bet a whole week's pay behind my wife's back at the beginning of the season for Cleveland to make the Super Bowl. And I'm still alive, Dan.
Yes, I remember. Does your wife know? You're yelling. Now your wife's going to know, Richard.
She's known since about 3 weeks after I happened because I had to let it slip. I was telling some buddies, and one of my buddies told his wife, and so then I had to tell her before his wife told her. You know how it goes.
Okay, how much can you win if the Browns go to the Super Bowl?
Okay, here's my magic numbers. 647-13 at 36-1 just to make the Super Bowl puts me at a grand total of 23,297. But if they were to win, it's 42. That puts me at $28,509.
Call me on Monday after the Browns win there, Richard.
You better believe it.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I like that. Yeah, I remember. He was like, I'm putting a full week's pay on there. I'm like, all right. But he's not going to tell his wife. Art in Dallas. Hey, Art, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Art, 510-230. Awesome. First time, long time. So I'm a huge Packers fan, and I'm worried about all the accolades that Devontae Adams is getting because he falls under what I call Mike Reed.
Devontae Smith?
Devontae Adams.
Of
the Packers.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right.
My fault.
So I have a
Creed theory.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's like the band Creed. You know, when they first came out, they were a decent band. You really couldn't say anything bad about them. So then they kind of just got flooded everywhere, and then everybody's playing them on commercials and everything, and then because everybody could listen to them, and then that pretty much starts where people start turning on them, and then once people start turning on them, they start bashing them. And that's happened to multiple bands, you know. That's happened to Nickelback. That's happened to Imagine Dragons. And with our sports players, it's just, I mean, Rodgers has gone through that.
Well, wait, like, are we turning on Davante Adams? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that he's doing so good right now that he's getting into that spotlight of the Creed that if he doesn't come through in this playoff game or if he has a couple of bad games, then everybody's going to start jumping ship on him and say, see, he's really not that good.
Well, I want to see what happens with Jalen Ramsey. But thank you, Art. I think I was following what you're saying. But, you know, with Jalen Ramsey and Davante Adams, a great wide receiver. And if you stay with Aaron Rodgers, that's going to help considerably. Were you following that, McLovin?
Oh, yeah, the old Davante Adams' is Creed argument. It's one of the oldest football arguments around. I think he's talking about, like, we build him up, tear him down, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would use Creed.
I don't know that we've built up Davante Adams that much. I've seen a few articles saying you're not noticing the best receiver, meaning we're not noticing him. I mean, you love him. I know that.
Yeah, he's great. But I...
Metcalf got a lot of attention. DK Metcalf did, not...
Yeah, but we talked about DK Metcalf for chasing down Buda Baker.
Right, right. And then he became Creed a little bit, and then he sort of fell apart. I don't think Davante Adams has been Creed yet. He's okay. More like Live. Remember that band?
Oh, Live. Your placenta falls to the floor. I don't think that has ever been uttered in a song before or since with Live.
Like not Elton John.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Billy Joel. Yes, yeah,
I also think Davante Adams has been around too long to be considered Creed. He's got a little more longevity than sort of like, hey, first album right out of the gates goes diamond or whatever, and like, look at this, and that's too big. He's more of like a Pearl Jammy kind of guy. Like he's putting together a solid run of albums.
He kind of got discovered. You know, it's one of those, hey, 6 years, overnight sensation type thing with Davante Adams. But do you go, how does it work? Creed, then you get to Nickelback, then you get to Imagine Dragons?
What about Matchbox 20 in that mix?
I can't put Matchbox 20 in there. Matchbox 20, I thought that was, Rob Thomas was great.
So I like it. This is the thing you're most defensive about today. Like most, yeah. I'm not going to vote. You talk about that.
Come on. I like Rob Thomas.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Now you've really got me mad. Todd, what'd you learn today?
That Bruce Arians was once an assistant under Bear Bryant at Alabama, which would have been good for you to have been told way ahead of time.
McLovin, what did you learn?
That Tom Brady is like Peyton Manning, too much of a perfectionist to be a coach.
Seton O'Connor.
You did not want to work for Tom Brady.
Paul?
Bruce Arians almost took down Sal Powell.
Todd, what did I learn?
Devontae Smith humbly runs his routes better and crisper than any other college wide receiver.
Built Bar, simply the best tasting protein bar around. 18 amazing flavors. Mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip. You'll believe me when you taste it. Go to BuiltBar.com. Promo code DP for 20% off. Thanks for joining us. It's been our pleasure to serve you. For Seton, Pauly, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly, this has been the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, but wait, there's one more item here. You want to hear something amazing? Discover is going to match all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And they do this automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. Pretty amazing, right? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. Over 99% of places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen report. Limitations apply.